Every year on the occasion of the second Sunday in Easter, we encounter this particular gospel reading from John. And of course, the main character, the central character, is Thomas, doubting Thomas. And while pure and unquestioned faith is indeed a blessing, it's not a blessing that's given to everyone. But here's the good news. Jesus says in the text, "Blessed are they who have not seen," this is all of us, "and have believed." I suspect that for most, the journey of faith is just that, a journey, an enterprise, a process in which doubt seeps in and questions emerge. And sometimes in our trials and tribulations, we wonder about the existence of an all-loving God. And this is one thought I would offer for each of you today. Doubt is okay. For it is in that process of questioning that we grow even closer to our God. We don't need to be like Thomas, who had to physically touch the Lord before he believed. We call upon the Holy Spirit. Now I'll admit, and I'm sure that some of you would agree, that there are times when we must wonder, "Lord, things would be a whole lot easier for me if I could only just see you before me." Yet again, it's through that questioning, that intellectual engagement, that experiential reality of wondering, that we are pointed in the direction of a source to assist us. The church. And we are a sacramental church, as we see so well today. We are a church that believes in the underlying grace of outward signs. And at this Mass, as we all know, we celebrate the First Communion for our youngsters. It's an important day. I am very honored, as I am every year, to receive letters from each of our children with beautiful pictures, prayer intentions, and descriptions of what they learned during their preparation process. I wish I could read each of them to you in their entirety. They are precious. But I can only offer a few excerpts. On the subject of preparation, one young person said, "To prepare for First Communion, I went to Mass with my family and learned a ton of catechesis." A ton. Keep on accumulating that knowledge, up to 2 tons. It's a good thing. Holy Communion reminds me that Jesus loves me. Yes, he does, my good friend, a whole lot. Holy Communion will change my life. Instead of doing the cross around my arms, I will make my hands look like prayer hands. That was lovely. I went to a retreat with my mom. I also prepared by buying nice clothes, including a tie and sports coat. Thank you, Max. We're going on the retreat, and you look especially sharp today. And to those other gentlemen who got new bow ties, you are truly styling also. I have learned to say amen to the priest or deacon and not say something else. for you. That's a good thing. You know, I can always tell when one of our brothers or sisters of another faith tradition inadvertently receives communion, as sometimes it happens at funerals, for I'll say, "The body of Christ," and they will say, "Why, thank you," and then walk away. "You're welcome. Come and see us again." On prayer intentions, there were so many. So many people are being remembered at this Mass. My family, my class, my teacher. Teachers are over there. Wave your hands. They supported you. My mom and dad. My papa, because he died. My sibling, I will pray for Jesus and happiness. I will pray for Nan, my mom's grandmother in heaven, because she was very nice and is missed. I will pray for God to forgive me for being rude to my sister. Pretty sure he can handle that. And then there were the descriptions of post-communion celebrations. We will have a family party with nachos, my favorite, Joanna and my fellow Cubs fans said. We are planning to have a party at Kingfish with all my family. I recommend the everything platter. Go all out. Dad or mom are paying, you know. We have a reservation somewhere for brunch after my first Holy Communion, and it's really good. All righty. I'm going to the Bristol. Sweet. They have a great brunch, you know. So there's a whole lot of great gatherings going on today. And let us use this occasion and those gatherings to build up the faith of all, especially our first communicants. Faith, you see, in the risen Christ is the source of all peace. And our relationship with Jesus is not simply a personal matter. It occurs in community. It's a way of living which compels us to support one another and to celebrate with one another, and especially to reach out to one another, particularly those living on the margins of our society. Our relationship with Jesus is demonstrated in our participation in the sacraments, in our concrete efforts to bring him to others, and in our outreach to those who are forgotten, or neglected, despised, maybe even unloved. Finally, I must also note that today is also Divine Mercy Sunday. It's a solemnity which celebrates St. Faustina's encounter with Jesus, and that great saint, Pope John Paul II, he had a tremendous devotion to the image of divine mercy, and that's well documented. And I want to conclude my comments with a quote from him. "Humanity will never find peace until it turns with trust to divine mercy. Divine mercy is the Easter gift that the Church receives from the risen Christ and offers to humanity." Amen. So may our ongoing encounter with the source of all mercy, the risen Lord and his Church, continue to give us peace and hope and joy. And may the example of our first communicants be an inspiration for all of us.